Now, for a short time, we just want to focus our thoughts upon that reference in Ephesians chapter 6, second part of verse 17, and to follow the theme of what the Bible represents and how we have received the Scriptures and how we then are in a position to understand its teaching. The Christian faith stands or falls upon the veracity of Scripture. If the Bible is not true, then Christianity falls and cannot be sustained in modern thinking and in human experience. If, as in the words of the Apostle Paul, if Christ is not risen, then our faith is futile. And we are still in our sins. How do we learn about the resurrection of Jesus? How do we learn about the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives? How do we learn of the cleansing power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus? Were it not for the Bible, the Scriptures? So as we have in past studies understood in Paul's teaching to Timothy, for example, that the Bible is God-breathed, it is inspired both in its writing and in its interpretation. We want to just take a little moment or two to reflect upon this authority and power, so that we can be convinced and assured that the Word of God is in fact life to the believer, to the child of God. To attack or to reject the Bible is to reject Christianity and all that is of God. Now, as we begin this little study, let's go into the book of Amos the prophet. Amos. We want to read in chapter 8, and in particular in verse 11. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. So if you find any of those books, you're not too far away from Amos. The book of Hosea, 14 chapters, quite a large book. Work your way towards Revelation, and you'll have Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. If you go into Obadiah, Jonah, you've gone too far. Have we found Amos chapter 8? Let me see the nod. Good. It's just as important for us to identify this verse. You will note that in verse 9, there is a direct reference to the intervention of God, and that will take place in the return of Christ. It shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning, all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son and its end like a bitter day. Now in that context, let's read verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There is coming a time when the Bible scriptures will be hard to find. We see the evidence of that impending judgment upon our doorstep even today, in the fact that you can go down to any Christian bookshop and run your eye through the section where they sell Bibles. And unless you've got a steady grip on things, your head will very soon begin to swoon with the number of various translations of the Bible. And if you were to spend an hour or two and pick just one relevant, outstanding reference, text of Scripture, and consult the variety of translations that are available, you will discover that there is very often little recognition of what the true text and the original translation of the Bible means. As we translate more and more, it appears that we are drifting more and more away from the truth of God's Word. So that it is possible, even today, it is possible for you to go into a Christian bookshop to buy a Bible, to take it home, read it, and discover that in truth you haven't bought the Word of God. You've bought a Bible, but you have not bought the Word of God. Now notice the last part of Amos 8 verse 11. Not a famine for bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the, it doesn't say Bible, hearing the words of the Lord. That's why it is important, it is imperative that if we are buying a Bible, we make sure that it is a proper translation. The day is coming when there will be a famine for the Word of God. Two things are happening. They happen simultaneously. Not only do we have Bibles that are not true to the original, but we have preachers who are not true to the Bible. And so we have Bibles produced by preachers, and we have preachers produced by Bibles. And there is no authenticity to the message that either of them declare. A famine for the Word of God. That's why it's important for us not only to read the Bible, but to memorize as much as we can, so that we will not be deprived of the Word of God when we approach these dark and dismal days. Deny God's people the Bible and we are starved of our nourishment. It is the food we eat. We've all learned that verse off Matthew 4, verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. The Bible is our food. We need its nourishment. If we neglect the Bible and its reading, then we will very soon become weak and anemic and will have no stamina to our faith. It is also the air that we breathe. Come over into Ezekiel chapter 37. The prophet Ezekiel chapter 37, that great prophetic message of the valley of dry bones. Can these bones live? Is the question that is put. The response or the answer is, Lord, you know. The prophet very wisely puts the answer to the question into the domain of the divine. God knows. He has it all planned. He has it all worked out. If we're confused about Bible prophecy, we need to simply remember that God has it all worked out. Even if we don't fully understand it, even if we cannot put together a profile of where we go from here and what will be taking place in the world when Christ returns, these issues are not significant in the sense of our salvation. We simply rest assured that God has it all planned and all worked out, and he will fulfill every purpose. But look at the 37th chapter of Ezekiel and verse 5. Here we read, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. The Bible is God breathed. We noted that in our last two studies. So here Ezekiel the prophet is reminded of the power of the Word of God. Both Old and New Testaments, of course, identify and testify to the power of God's Word. Now, just for a few moments, let's take the first thought in this connection and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The verse we want to pick up is that 13th verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul writes, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Paul is here acknowledging that the word that he preached was not the result of his own logic. It was not the result even of his own experience. But as he preaches the word and as he writes these epistles to the churches that we have been looking at over these Sundays, he is acknowledging that he has received and now he delivers that word of God. Man would like to alter the content of the Bible, also its context. They would desire to remove its effect. But the Bible, God's word, is protected by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come with me to the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. And let's read verse 11. The comparison is made in verse 10. As the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now here is the comparison. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Note, my word, my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. My word shall not return void. Now, what does this word void mean? Where have we read it before? Where have we understood it? In what context have we discovered it? Well, come back with me to Genesis chapter 1. Right back to the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. We could well put a full stop behind the fourth word. In the beginning, God. That explains the Bible. It explains everything in this created universe. In the beginning, God. So what did God do? Created the heavens and the earth. Then note in the second verse, the earth was without form and void. The word void here literally means not productive, empty. What did God tell us? My word that goes forth from my mouth shall not return void, unproductive, empty. Why? Because it will accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. God speaks his word. Come over into Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I have discovered that the best way to keep you from dozing off during the sermon is to keep you busy. So Psalm 119 and verse 126. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. You see, that's the problem with an unbelieving world. They find, they imagine that somehow God's word is not profitable. It is not productive. And so they reject it and rebel against it. But God's word will always accomplish that which he pleases, simply because God's word is supported by the authority of God himself. Now notice how the Apostle Paul treats this subject. We are reminded that the Bible does not accommodate man, but man must accept and adopt the Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And remember that here the Apostle Paul is confronting a church that has serious spiritual problems. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read the first five verses. Note how Paul addresses his coming. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now over to chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. We read this reference this morning before partaking of the Lord's Supper. Here is how Paul describes his ministry, his preaching. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Paul's preaching was not in human wisdom. Paul's preaching was received from God and proclaimed in the power of God. And as the Bible is properly proclaimed and believed, it produces in us the purposes of God's grace and power. The Bible is the authority of God's word. Now, as we conclude, let me take you back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And permit me just to pick out a few statements in the psalm. Now, if you want to make sure that I'm doing this in context, then before you go to bed tonight and before you switch on the television to watch the footy, read Psalm 119. That's the challenge. Read the psalm through and you'll see the context of what I'm about to point out to you. We begin in verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. Here is the thought. I will not forget your word. We might forget parts of the Bible, but we will not forget the word of God. Go over into verse 50. Verse 50, Psalm 119. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Come over to verse 81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Now, we could read through the psalm, and you'll pick out other statements that relate to this. What the psalmist David is telling us is, this is God's word. God's word is our very life. We're nourished by it. It's the air we breathe. It's that vital impact of heaven upon our hearts, building us up in our faith, reassuring us that whatever man may say or do, God's word is true. And what he has promised will come to pass. So what are we to do? We are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your presence here tonight, and we ask that you will write your Word indelibly upon our hearts, so that at all times and with all our needs, we will learn to trust the promises of God, assured that these are not the logical inventions of the intellectual mind, but they are in fact the breathings of God. Help us to stand upon your word and to hold high in our hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.